Encourage you guys all to continue praying for Jason and Reverend Law as they're in Venezuela the next couple of weeks. We are in Ephesians 6 this morning. If you turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, your devices, keep a finger on that. We've been talking about prayer and praise, and this is one of the core values here at Pacific Grace, and we're just going through these core values throughout the year. Just kind of rediscovering what it means for us as a church. And last time I was up here, I was talking about what we ought to pray for. What we ought to pray for is more of Jesus, right? So we ought to pray for the strength to know more of his love. We ought to pray to be filled with the fullness of God. We ought to be praying for him because he makes himself available to us, right? You know, God wants us to know him and experience him. I mean, this is a big ask, but we can ask, and Paul says, because God is really this big, right? God is really this big. He is capable of more than we can ever comprehend, it says in Ephesians chapter 3. You know, his love goes deeper than we can ever know, than we can ever imagine. So there's always more that we can ask of him. There's always more that we can ask for from God. But not just more of his stuff, not just more of his things, but more of him. He's the center. He's the object of our prayers. He's the center. He's the object of what we desire. That's what it ought to be like. So today, what we're going to be talking about is how does this work in the day-to-day? What does this look like in the day-to-day, in our prayer lives day-to-day? Back in 2009... I was driving this 1998 Acura EL, all right? Not going to win any car races in that car, but it was a great car, right? It drove great. It was super reliable. Didn't have to get too much, nothing fixed on it. It was great on gas. But, man, the battery sucked. The car battery sucked because it was 1998. It was a car from 1998. I was driving in 2009. It was like the original battery from way back, like 11 years ago. And so I was driving this thing, and every time I stopped the car, like to go to the store or something and pick something up, I'd have no idea whether the car would start or not. Right? It was like playing Russian roulette with a car battery. And so what I would do, I would keep like jumper cables in the car in the middle of summer in Calgary. Right? And so just because I wouldn't know if it started or not. Anyway, so 2009, I replaced the car battery. But you know when every time, like, I don't know if you guys, in other cars, but in Hondas or Acuras, they have, like, the stock car stereo. And every time the battery dies or you replace the battery, you got to enter the security code in the stereo to get it going again. And it's weird because, like, it's the cheapest car stereo ever, but they don't want you to steal it. So they have the security code in it. Anyways, it didn't make any sense. I didn't know what the code was, or I forgot what the code was, so I couldn't enter this in. So for a year, I'm driving this thing without a car battery, or without a stereo or radio on, which turned out to be one of the best things ever, because this is what happened. Around that time, I had like a 30-minute commute. I was interning at a church. It was about a 30-minute commute, back and forth. 30 minutes there, 45 minutes back. And I didn't have any radio to listen to. And so what I would do is I would spend that whole time just talking to God, just praying. And I would just pray whatever came to mind. And if I was processing something in my ministry that I wanted to do, I'd talk about that with God. If I was thinking about my relationships, my friendships, my wife, those things, I would just process these things with God. Whatever it was that came to my heart, I just talked to my God. And so I would have my normal thought processes. But I would be directing these thought processes to God instead of just keeping it myself. Right, and it got to this point where I found myself doing this throughout the day. Man, God, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You know, I'm thinking about doing this. Man, okay, God, I need help here. Can you help me out? Right? Even just a simple, God, help me, got me through the day. Every once in a while, right? And it eventually prayer just became something that filled my entire day rather than just this block of 5 minutes that I spend with God every morning. And see, the thing, though, for us is for a lot of us here, for myself included, at times is like we find it hard to pray pure and simple, right? Our mind wanders. It's hard to focus. We get distracted easily. We hear a text come in and we jump on it. We interrupt our prayer time to check it. We find it hard to settle our hearts down long enough to have any meaningful time with God. Or we get busy with life, with school, with work, family, friends. The prayer, sometimes the first thing that gets cut out. We're so easily distracted, right? Sometimes what it boils down to is maybe there's a part of us that actually doesn't really believe that prayer works. And that what we'll tend to do is allow ourselves to, we actually allow ourselves to get distracted. We allow our minds to get to wander. And sometimes it's like we welcome distraction when we're praying. Because sometimes in the back of our minds we're thinking, man, does prayer even change things? Like, does my prayer even make a difference? Does God even care when I talk to him? Does he even hear me? And it's so easy for us to allow ourselves to get distracted when we're praying, because prayer is just something you do because you think you should, not because you feel like it's having an effect on your life. And this morning, let me suggest to you that prayer does work. Right? There's this, how's this that for a Sunday school answer? Prayer does work. Prayer does change things. And that prayer doesn't have to be this mechanical, formulaic thing that you do. Man, prayer does connect us to God. And one of the best ways to do that is just to pray constantly, to pray all the time. So I'm going to read this passage. It's really short. We will know it if we've been to church for a while. It comes from Ephesians 6, verses 18 to 20. I'm going to read it and we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have torn the veil in two, that through the cross of Christ and through his death, that the veil is torn in two in the temple. There's nothing that keeps us from coming face to face with you, Father. That we don't need a priest anymore. We don't need this intermediary. We could just come who, as we are, bringing our prayers to you. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning you would teach us how to pray. That you would show us what it means to live a life of prayer. What it means to live life in continuous prayer to you. And so, Lord, I pray that all of us would come out of here committing ourselves to a life of communion with you, Jesus. Of connecting with you always. That we'd have this lifeline to you, that we can never be severed. So Lord, help us this morning. Show us what it is in your word that you want us to know this morning. We thank you. Amen. If you know a bit about the Bible, Paul writes this particular passage. In the middle of this section, where he talks about putting on the armor of God, right? And if you read the section surrounding this passage, if you read this chapter here, Paul is talking about putting on this armor. It's like not a literal armor. You're not literally using your Bible as a sword, like it says in chapter 17. It's Paul's talking about some spiritual realities here, some invisible spiritual realities here. Paul writes in verse 11, if you have your finger on the Bible there, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And what he's saying is that there's a spiritual reality in this world that we are living in now, right? We may not be able to see it with our eyes, but we can see the effects of it. We see it every time we see injustice happen in this world. We see the effects of it. We see it anytime someone hates on God. I mean, those are the effects of it. We see it anytime a pastor or a church leader falls into sin, right? We see the effects of it whenever we fall into sin ourselves. We don't see it directly. We don't see it with our eyes, but we do see the effects of it on God's people and in the world. I mean, there is a spiritual enemy that is hard at work trying to mess up the good that God is doing and what his people are doing. And he does that, and the devil does that by messing up the one variable in that equation that can be messed with. I mean, Satan cannot mess with God straight up, right? That's a given. But man, he can sure mess up his people. He can sure mess us up. And so Paul is saying, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood and the things you can see. Our struggle goes deeper than that. And as we grapple with the tough things in life, what actually happens is a lot of the times the mat that we're wrestling on is in these spiritual realities. One of the things we forget as we live our lives is that these spiritual realities that actually exist that affect us in ways that we can never imagine. We don't think about it because we don't see it. Out of sight, out of mind. But John 4 says that God is spirit, right? And so we as his followers, we as his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. But what does this even mean? I mean, this is weird, right? It kind of seems airy-fairy to think that there's this mysterious, invisible world out there all around us, right? This mystical, magical thing around us. I mean, we grow up being taught to trust in our five senses, right? We think that it must be real only if we can see it, smell it, hear it, touch it, feel it. Well, that's the same as touch. Taste it, right? There's five, right? If I can't, then I've got to doubt it. I've got to doubt it. It must not be real if I can't if I can't trust my senses with it. Then I've got to question it and resort to I'll believe it when I see it. A few years ago, when we were living in Calgary, my niece, who was in university at the time, you guys might have heard this story before. I've told it before, but it's like 1 a.m. It's 1 a.m. I was just getting into bed. To sleep when I get a phone call on my phone, on my cell phone. It's from my niece. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. I'm thinking maybe her car wouldn't start. Like maybe she got in a car accident. Maybe she got arrested, which would have been cool. Not cool, but compared to this. But I pick up the phone and she's like, Uncle Keith. And her voice is shaking. Her voice is quivering, right? She's like, Uncle Keith, can you? I think there's a demon attacking me. Can you come? Can you come? I'm at James's house, her boyfriend at the time. Can you come? I'm like, okay. And so I call my buddy up, Jason, who was her pastor at the time. And we're like, they call you too? Yeah? Okay, let's do this. Let's go. And so we meet up, and Jason is driving. She's at James, her boyfriend's place. Her husband, and so we're driving down to her, driving down there, and Jason is driving in his minivan, and all along the way, I'm in his passenger seat. I'm just praying, man. I'm just praying my face off. I'm like, Jesus, go in there and just blow stuff up, right? I'm praying against the enemy. I'm praying for me and Jason, man. If there's anything in our hearts, any sins on our hearts that the enemy wouldn't use that against us, to attack us, right, as we're praying for it. And so the whole time right down, we're praying like crazy. And this whole time I'm freaking out. But at the same time, it's like, I'm like calm. I had this really weird calm that washed over me. And so we get to the place, and my niece was things have kind of calmed down now. I think it's whatever it is that was attacking her, it was taking a break. And so her and her boyfriend are filling us in on what's happening before we got there. And she said, like, in the drive down there, between the time that she called us and the time we got there to the place, she said that other than me and Jason, she had called a couple other friends to start praying for her. And so she said that when the demon was attacking her, all this time, what happened was she was filled with darkness. All she saw was darkness, right? It's like she was in this trance. Someone had turned off all the lights, it seemed like. And then she said, and I kid you not here, she said she saw his vision of Jesus throwing like a fireball like Ryu in Street Fighter, right? Haruken, right? At the demon. She saw this vision of this. And then she saw these rays of light piercing the darkness in those places. And in those places where the light was shining, where the spotlight was shown, she was seeing all these friends praying for her that she called. And in one of these spotlights, she saw Jason and I driving in Jason's van down this very specific stretch of road, which she had no idea we were driving on. And this is crazy because she didn't, once again, she didn't know we were coming together. She didn't know we met up to come, drive down together. She didn't know which car we would be taking. She didn't know which route we'd be taking to get to the place. But she had this vision of us driving down this very specific point where we were praying on the way down in Jason's van with me in the passenger seat and Jason driving. And this is exactly what we were doing when she saw this vision. Karl Barth wrote, "To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world." To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of this world. And we're not going to have this crazy spiritual experience like my niece did, but if there's anything that it shows us, man, that's real. There are some spiritual realities out there that we may not be able to see with our eyes or hear with our ears or touch with our hands, but they're real. Paul says that our struggle isn't against the things that we can see and hear and feel. It goes deeper and into the things that we can't see that work against us and are trying to cause us to fail. They're trying to destroy us. They're trying to tempt us and steer us away from the things of God towards the things that'll kill us and destroy us. And the choice that we have is this. Are we going to stand firm with God having our backs, or are we just going to give in? Are we going to choose the things that give us life, or are we going to take the easy route, the fun route, the route that might give us instant gratification now, but in the end is probably going to destroy us? Paul tells us, man, to put on the armor of God so that we can withstand this pressure that these enemy spiritual forces are going to put on us, right? Paul could have said, man, just tough it out. Just will yourself to resist temptation. You can do it. You can get out of this jam on your own. You can do it, man, but he doesn't, right? What does he do? What does he do? He says, if you want to live a victorious, a powerful Christian life, you can't just will stuff to happen any more than you can just wait for stuff to happen. Neither way works, right? He says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer and supplication. Pray at all times in the Spirit. What he's saying is that prayer is part of your arsenal for living a powerful, victorious spiritual life. If you want to live in true spiritual freedom, prayer is essential to that. Because what prayer does is it takes the power out of our hands, which really isn't that powerful at all, right? And it puts the power into the hands of God, who is really the greatest spiritual power of all. Prayer says to God, I'm standing firm in my spirit, not because I can myself, but because you can. Prayer is saying to God, my life, my very existence is possible because of you. Prayer is taking away all dependence on ourselves and on our own strength, which is usually going to fail us, and going all in on the one who we can truly depend on. This is what prayer is about. Because when those prayers went up for my nieces, it wasn't about my performance or how well I prayed or how well her friends prayed or Jason prayed. It was about putting all of the control into the hands of the Heavenly Father who could do something about it. It was about us depending on His power in the name of Jesus, His Son, to get the job done. We had no power of our own, but God's. It was God's power the whole way. This is what prayer is about. And so when Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit, he's calling us to a life where we are in constant dependence on God for all of life. Not just when we need to ace an exam, not just when we need to ace a job interview, not just when we're struggling at work, not just when we're struggling at home with our family, but all of life. Paul's calling us to a life in which we are in continuous spiritual connection with the Father through the Spirit of His Son. Man, we're tapped in. We're tapped in. If you feel like you're disconnected from God, pray at all times in the Spirit. If you feel like God is far away, pray at all times in the Spirit. If you feel like life is getting out of control and you're crazy busy with all these responsibilities, the weight of life is just pushing your shoulders down, you're weighing you down, pray at all times in the Spirit, man. If you feel like you're actually in a pretty good place in your life, things are going well, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray. Now, before we get the idea that prayer is the central thing, I mean, let's pull back a little bit here. Let's pull back. Paul Miller wrote this really great book on prayer a couple years ago called A Praying Life. And if you have a chance to go pick it up, go out and get it and read it. Paul Miller, Praying Life. He writes that making prayer the center is like making conversation the center of a family meal. Conversation is only the vehicle through which we can experience one another. And consequently, prayer is not the center. Getting to know a person, God, is the center. In other words, what he's saying is prayer is all about our relationship. A relationship. It's all about our relationship to God. And prayer is just a means to build on that relationship. Think about our friendships for a second here. Think about the friends you have. Think about your best friends even. Right? How did you get to that point? How'd you guys get so close? How'd you guys become best friends? I mean, you do stuff together, right? You have common interests. You do stuff together. Maybe you grow up together, and over the years, you've developed this friendship. But I bet, though, the biggest part of your friendship and how you got to where you are has a lot to do with conversation. Has a lot to do with just talking about stuff, going through life together. If you weren't in conversation face-to-face, you'd probably be on the phone with them. Or nowadays you'd be texting them or messaging them, right? Non-stop. And I'm talking now, and some of you guys are texting right now and having conversations, right? But nowadays, you'd be in constant communication with your friends and family 24/7, right? And some of you do this 24/7. If you have this kind of constant conversation with friends, if you've gotten this close to your friends because of these conversations, wouldn't it make sense that if you wanted to experience God and to know God and get close to God, that you'd want to connect with Him in conversation too? Wouldn't it make sense that way? And look, when you talk to your friends, you're texting and whatever, and nowadays it's really easy. It comes so naturally, right? You're in the middle of doing something, the phone buzzes, and you're on it right away, right? You got your phone, you're replying. You're in the middle of class, admit it, guys. You're at work. You sit beside someone on the bus, and they smell funny. What do? You text your buddies, right? You say, yo, I'm on this bus, and this guy sits beside me, and like, he stinks, right? LOL, poo emoticon, right? What if you had this kind of relationship with God? What if throughout your day you had this running conversation with God? That instead of talking about stuff with your friends, what you're doing is you're directing everything to God. The only difference is that God might not poo emoticon back at you or LOL back at you, right? Maybe He will. I don't know. But the point is that everyday mundane things of life, you are sharing it with God. You're sharing with God in the big and small things of life. You're talking to God about it. Throughout the day, you're having this running conversation with God about it. If you have an inner dialogue with yourself, if you're prone to talking to yourself, man, direct that dialogue to God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer and supplication. Include God in your inner thoughts, in your words, your inner monologue, right? If you're doing that, if you start doing that, if this is what's going on in your life, you'll start to begin to see that you're actually sharing your life with God. You're opening more of yourself to Him, and you're actually finding yourself connecting with God. And if you feel that God is distant, you're disconnected from Him, you don't feel close to God, He's far away, man, more often than not, it boils down to your prayer life. So I think one of the places we get really hung up on prayer and we just kind of give up on prayer is because we kind of separate prayer from the rest of our lives. We think of prayer as this discipline, which it is, right? We think of prayer as this discipline. Man, I need to spend 10 minutes praying the moment I wake up and 10 minutes before I go to sleep, right? And I'm not saying this is important. We need to be doing this still. We need to be spending blocks of time intentionally on our knees in communion with God through prayer. But I'm saying that if we just limit prayer to just that, there's a real high chance that we're going to just let things slide, right? Things get busy, prayer goes out the window. Life gets crazy, prayer's the first thing that gets dropped. And then we get frustrated with prayer. Remember this, prayer isn't just about a discipline, it's about a relationship. It's about knowing God. Just like how we maintain relationships with our friends, we need to be constantly connecting with God. Heart to heart, soul to soul. Prayer connects our spirit to His spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and supplications. If we learn to connect prayer with all of life, then prayer becomes a way for us to connect God with all of life. Right? And if we're connecting God with all of our lives, what we're doing is we're opening ourselves up to allow more of His power to work through our life. Wouldn't you want that in your life? Wouldn't you want to live in the power of God and His Spirit? By spending time with the Father in prayer, man, we're integrating our lives with His. We're saying, I can't do this on my own, God, but God, I know You can. Will You help me? Will You help me do this? Paul Miller says that a needy heart is a praying heart. Dependency is the heartbeat of prayer. You want to get rid of your anxiety? You want to worry less? Committing to prayer is committing to a life where you are freer from anxiety. Why? Because you know that God is in control, man, because you've given Him control. And He's always got your back. In His hands, it's always the safest place to be. And would you pray constantly? Would you pray continuously, my friends? You're not going to be able to nail it overnight. Think of it as a journey for a lifetime. There's got to be some intentionality to it. You got to work at it, just like you work on your friendships. You'd be on top of it, but just like talking to your closest friends feel natural and completely normal, praying to God can feel natural and completely normal too. We've got a lifetime to figure out, so let's do it, man. Pray continuously. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and supplications. It doesn't matter whether you do it right or not. What matters is that you do it. It doesn't matter what you say or how you say it. God just wants you to pray at all times with all kinds of prayer. God wants you to run to him for everything. Everything about you matters to him. Everything about you he loves. Run to him. Let him into your life because he wants to let you into his. And prayer is a way to do that. Prayer is the way to do that. Let's pray. God, that as we sit here, pray that our hands would be open to you, to receive more of you. Pray that in our lives, God, that we would be people living lives of prayer. That we'd be living lives empowered, victorious, strengthened by your Spirit within us as we pray. And that the more we pray, the more we are in communion with you, God. That the more we open our lives to you, the more you open, the more of you we can receive. So Lord, help us, God. If we've been struggling with our prayer life, if we've been frustrated with it, I pray that you just show us who you are. Give us the strength to know more of you. Give us the strength to know more of your love. God, fill us with all of your fullness. Lord, let this be the prayer of our hearts, God. And Lord, I pray that in our lives that we would not let the busyness, the craziness that many of our lives can become get in the way of our communion with you, God. Get in the way of our relationship with you. We thank you, Jesus, that is only because of you and the cross that we can have access to God the way we do have. Thank you for this grace. Thank you that you bring us, you reconcile us back to the Father, that we can become like little children asking for things of the Father. Lord, would you help us do that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To pray means that we can connect, we can converse with God. And today's message from Pastor Keith just reminded us, hopefully reminds us, that we shouldn't just pray just for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. We should pray all the time. And we can be confident that God will listen to our prayers no matter what we pray to him, whether we're happy, whether we're sad. We can always know that he will listen. And we can pour out our heart to him no matter what we're going through. So as we sing this last song, perhaps sing it as a prayer, reflect on the words, and this is the song, Pour Out My Heart. Here I am.
Here I am once again. I pour out my heart, for I know that you hear every cry. You are listening, no matter what state my heart is in. You are faithful to answer with words that are true and a hope that is real, as I feel your touch.